Tell me about the role of the Joint Requirements Oversight Council and the Joint Capabilities Integration and Development System.
Well, I'm it's good to be back, Francis. I'm glad you spelled those out. I don't have to. JROC, the Joint Requirements Oversight Council, is like the requirements board for the Pentagon. It's chaired by the vice chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, and they bring in four stars from all around the military services, as well as senior civilians. And the idea is it helps provide advice about joint requirements. The JCIDS, Joint Capability Integration and Development System, is one of the means that they do that. It was created in 2003 to be a forum and a process where ideas get vetted from a joint perspective. It's had its problems over the years, and GAO has reported several times on them, and last Friday we put out our most recent report.
And what did you look at in that report, John?
It was a very broad-based mandate, but we focused in on a couple of areas. I mean, the good news here is that DOD has realized that some of the that the processes associated with JCIDS really doesn't do a very good job separating wants from needs, and it really hasn't been responsive enough to provide urgently needed items like the mine-resistant vehicles and such. And they've begun to take some concrete steps toward addressing the challenges. I mean, I think that's the good news. They accepted and agreed with our findings. The less good news is they were a bit less specific about what they were going to do exactly to address our recommendations.
We'll get into those recommendations more specifically in a little bit, John, but that concept of separating wants from needs, that's something that the Pentagon has struggled with for a long time. Is that something that has been part of what GAO's looked at over the years?
Well, I mean, it's a judgment call very often. What we're hoping to get the department to do is be a little more transparent about how exactly they're going to look at these capabilities that are being suggested. You know, the program sponsor, military service, for example, needs a capability. This is suggested. It's dreamed up somewhere. It's suggested. And it's being considered through the JROC, and the JCIDS is the organization, or excuse me, the process that brings that together. What we hope the department would do is put some guidance out to codify how they're going to look at these capabilities, what kinds of things they're looking for, what kinds of information that they want, and how they're going to evaluate them when they bring them forward to kind of bring some a better methodology, rigor, and transparency to the process.
The recommendation segment of this report says that you recommend the vice chair require program sponsors to address each criterion in JCIDS guidance related to sustainment and capability documents. What does that mean?
Yeah, I know it's a mouthful. This thing is full of very sort of arcane sounding documents. But what that means, this is the printer problem, right? You go buy a printer at your Office Max and it's $79, but then when you go and get the ink, it's $59.
Mm-hmm.
What we are stressing in this is that the sustainment information, which is now being collected, it didn't used to be collected in any systematic way, needs to be made more consistent. It needs to be clearer what exactly the sponsors should provide, because we need visibility on the reliability of these programs before they're approved, how much they're really going to cost. When you look at programs overall, sustainment costs are usually 70% or so of the life cycle cost of an acquisition. So this is not small money.
You said the sustainment information wasn't even collected before. How is it being collected consistently now and just not presented consistently, or is it not even being collected in a consistent way?
We looked at a number of capability documents, and we saw something in every most of the top line slots, whether it be reliability, operational availability, cost. But probably the best way to describe this is the one we looked at on the literal combat ship. It's a Navy program,
mm-hmm.
And what my team found is that there were in fact ownership cost estimates in the document, but almost no detail about how those were developed, nor was it clear how those estimates would be confirmed, you know, because we're starting to buy these things as they went into service. There are, you know, it comes back and it's revalidated before we make bigger decisions. And the underlying worry there is the numbers could prove to be really inaccurate. And that's kind of representative of what we saw. You know, you might have a long paragraph that explains, you know, for one thing, and some of these things are classified, so I can't go into too much detail, and then you might just have one, a couple of sentences on another, and the information was not consistent. So we thought that the department needs to be, I mean, we understand they don't want to be prescriptive or and write 100 million rules, but the sustainment is a major cost item, and we think they need to be clear about what's expected to be rolled in as these decisions are made.
Let me take you back for a minute to the other recommendation, if I can,
sure.
John. You write, revise and implement JCID's guidance to reflect recent changes to the process and establish criteria and measures for determining the relative importance of capability needs. Revise and implement implies to me there's some guidance in place. Is the guidance that's there being followed, and it's just not quite what it could be? Or is the guidance maybe okay, but nobody's really following up to make sure that people are actually doing it?
You know, I think they're heading in the right direction. It's just that they're making a number of changes that have not been institutionalized in the guidance. So, let me back up a little bit and throw one more term at you, the idea of capability portfolio managers. DOD tried this a couple times, and it really hasn't worked very well. And the idea was that these folks would look across various programs and see how different ways to provide a capability, ISR, for example, intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance. We got multiple ways of doing that, and these folks were charged with looking across. But this didn't really work because the capability portfolio managers, the people, didn't really have any budget power. But DOD's resurrecting the idea here in terms of JCIDs, and there are bodies within JCIDs called the Functional Capability Boards, and they're being tasked with looking at things from a portfolio capability approach and proposing solutions provide the capability at the lowest cost. And they're also being required to independently assess these things. Also importantly, that the actual JROC meetings, the Joint Capability Board chairman, who's wearing a purple suit, not literally, but theoretically, is the one that briefs this to the JROC. It isn't the service sponsor. So the incentives and the vested interest are different. And so those are the kinds of things that are not spelled out in the guidance. It's an evolutionary process for sure, but we think these are things that are in the right direction. One other thing that's probably the most encouraging is that affordability is one of the explicit criteria that has to be discussed at these JROC meetings. And as an auditor, I got to tell you that makes my heart happy.